You are probably looking at your watch going, when are we going to get out of here? Don't worry, I only have about an hour of message here for you. We're going to kind of go off script. So Judy, I probably won't follow those scriptures in order that I gave you, but I do want to share just a little bit with you this morning before we go. I hope that the time of praying together was something that was fruitful for you and you know, just in your group, getting to know a little bit about somebody and being connected to somebody. And I know it's just a short time, but our hope is that as we share together, that the Holy Spirit does something in those moments, even if it's just you sharing something and then that being something that God can use when you leave this place to pray for someone, maybe to reach out to them. When you see them next Sunday, ask them how they're doing. Because the church, as we talked about many, many times, is not this event. It's not the building. It's who we are. And we talked about that last week. We're going through a series in the book of John called The Story of Heaven on Earth. And, of course, the Gospel of John starts with John talking about Jesus stepping out of heaven and coming to earth. And if you were here last week, we were in chapter 2 talking about the time where Jesus cleanses the temple, right? It's one moment where we see Jesus, just this intense moment where he sees what's going on in the temple courts. People are buying and selling things, and it's for a matter of convenience in the area of worship. People could buy their sacrifices, and Jesus comes in and he cleanses out the temple. You've taken the temple and you made it something that it was not intended for. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. It's supposed to be a house of worship, and now you've made it into a marketplace. And so he's flipping over the tables. And so last week, we talked about the fact that the temple, after Jesus came and he died, and he even says to them when he's flipping over the tables, and they get upset, like, who gives you the authority to do this? And he goes, listen, tear down this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And they're like, well, what are you talking about? It took us 46 years to build this thing. How are you going to rebuild it in 3 days? And it's the text says that he was talking about his body, that he is the temple, okay? And so after the old covenant is fulfilled in Jesus coming and dying and raising from the dead, the new covenant is here, and the scripture tells us that God no longer, he does not live in houses built by human hands. We do not worship in temples. This is not the house of the Lord, as sometimes people refer to it, or there are not really places of worship, okay? When we look at what the scripture says, there's a different kind of temple that's now in place. 1 Peter 2, 4 to 5, I read this last week, but it says, you're coming to Christ, who's the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. So Jesus is the chief cornerstone of this temple. The scripture says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. He says, now as living stones, each one of us is being built into this temple, into this place of worship. So just to tie in with what we've been talking about earlier today, when you see that picture of a church in a third world country, a church, quote unquote, which is basically a room, you know, with nothing in it, you know, you can look at a church that way, or you can look at this, like I said last week, it's a gymnasium, we can call it a church, or you can go to Europe, where they're all empty, but they're the most beautiful buildings you'll ever see with stained glass, and it's not about buildings. It's about God building a building of living stones, people who have the Spirit of God inside of us. And as he does that, then we become together this thing called the church that has life and light to offer the world. I want to show you something in scripture. John chapter 8, which we'll get there down the road, but I'm going to read to you one verse from there, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I'm the light of the world. Have you heard that before, Jesus? I'm the light of the world. We've probably heard that, right? If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you'll have the light that leads to life. So you follow Jesus and he is the light, and then you'll have light, so you won't walk in darkness, right? I'm the light of the world, Jesus says. Look at Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. Wait a minute. Which one is it, right? Look, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Jesus came, he said, I'm the light of the world. And in him was life, and his life brought light to men. That's what the scripture says. So he's the light of the world. When we trust him, when we follow him, the scripture says, we'll read it in John chapter 3 in just a week or two, that we are born again by the Spirit. The Spirit comes inside of us. Now we have that light. We're adopted into his family. We are those living stones that he's building together to build this thing called the church. Okay? And he goes, now you are the light of the world. Because what happened? He died, he rose, and then he ascended to leave behind this thing called the church, which is the people of God who are following him, who know him. And we, me, you, anyone who's a believer in Jesus, we are now a light to the world. And he says, don't put that under a basket. It's there to be shown. And let people will praise God. When they see your good deeds, they're gonna praise your heavenly Father because they're gonna realize that God is alive. There's something going on inside these people called the church. Now, I'm gonna ask you a question for those of you who've been around for a little while. About 2 months ago, we did a series and it was called Be. And the very beginning of that series, we talked about being still. And I focused on slowing down and being still before God. Because Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I'm God. Now I ask you a question, whether you were here then or you hear me for the first time, how are you doing with that? I mean, how have you slowed down life at all to where you're taking some time to know who God is? And we obviously we learn the character of God and the heart of God as we read the scripture, but if what I'm talking about is true and what the Bible says is true, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, there's an aspect of God is with us, right? We see that over and over in the scripture. He's with us and he's for us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And do we slow down enough? And have you been slowing down enough to be with him? Because he wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to communicate to you in your time of need. He wants to meet you there. Are you doing that? And it's important for you, it's important for me, but the thing I don't want us to miss in the short time that we have here today, it's important for the world outside of here. Because the light of the world who came, died, and rose to give you life, now says, all right, I've left you behind. You are now the light of the world. See, your relationship with God, my relationship with God, it's not about put your faith in Jesus, get saved, and then you're good, right? I've said it before. If it was just about that, the best thing that the pastor could have done when he baptized you was just baptize you and hold you under and just send you right to Jesus. Like, I mean, if it's just about being saved and going to heaven, then, man, go. But, all right, that's probably not a good picture. All right, don't take that too far. But you understand what I'm saying. It's not just about coming to this place of faith and me being saved. One of the greatest injustices that I think has taken place is that we have read the scripture and the scripture has been taught to us through Western eyes, and it's become very personalized. So a lot of preachers and teachers, you know, it's all about you and your relationship with Jesus. Jesus died for you, okay? There's truth in that, but John 3:16 says what? That God so loved who? The world. It doesn't say God so loved you that he died for you and he gave. Now listen, you're included in the world. Praise God. I'm included in the world, but God so loved the world. So when I preach this message or I bring you a message, hey, God loves you and he wants you to have everything, you know, that's good in life and the best, your best life now, and it's about God forgiving you and it's about you being saved so that when you die, you can go to heaven. I've left out so much of the truth that you could think that you could live this life with just me and God and everything's good. Listen, God does love you and Jesus did die for you. But he loves everyone out there. He loves those Muslims who are in concentration camps that we were talking about. He loves your neighbor who drives you crazy with their loud music. He loves the person in the cubicle next to you who, for whatever reason, gets under your skin. He loves the outlaws, I mean, the in-laws that you have that, you know, I mean, he loves all of those people. And so to think, oh, it's all about me and my salvation, I check that box, I'm good to go, and now I can go to heaven, we're missing the point. God so loved the world, and it is about a relationship with him, and it is personal in that sense, but it's corporate. He's building together this place of worship through living stones, and that's you, and that's me, and we have light to bring to the world, and the world out there needs it. And so when we read about Jesus cleansing the temple, he came in and started flipping things over and you know, because they had just made it into something that it wasn't. They made it into a marketplace and it was supposed to be a place of worship. And a lot of times we see that, we go, look at the church in America. I wonder what Jesus would do if he walked in. Like, he'd be flipping over all kinds of things, right? Probably, okay? But not because we're messing up the temple, the place of worship. Maybe because we've made it about this and it's really not about this. But I think what's more important is, what would Jesus do if he were to examine this temple, right? Like, because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is there some cleansing that he wants to do? I touched on this last week, but is there some cleansing he'd want to do in you? Because when he starts cleansing things from our lives, then it starts doing something to this corporate body that we call the church. And it allows that light to shine more brightly, because when he starts changing you, then you start having a heart for the people next to you. You start having a heart for your neighbor. I start thinking about the people who I don't normally think of, because usually I'm just caught up in my own headspace and all of my own wants, desires, and things I need, and I can easily forget the people around me. So what I want to do right now, and I really hadn't planned on doing this, but we're almost out of time, but what I want to do right now is give us a little bit of time, okay, give you a little bit of time to just sit before God, because I don't know about your group, in our group, people actually shared what was going on in life, and there's some heavy stuff going on in people's lives in here, and God cares about that, and God cares about you, and he, I believe, wants to give you comfort. He wants to give you peace. He wants to speak to you. And he wants to change you, because you and me are what he's going to use to reach this world. I got news for you. There's no plan B, right? Like, God's not sending another Jesus until Jesus comes for the final time. God's not going to step out of heaven again to write these things. He's done all that. And he's given us his spirit. And he's empowered us to share this love with the world. But in order for us to do that in the full capacity that he wants us to do that, we need to be healthy. We need to be communicating with him. So Levi, if you guys will come back up. And I want to give us a minute. I didn't even get into my passage from John chapter 2. Actually, I'm going to read this to you real quick, all right, just to say I did it. John chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. All right, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust him. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Isn't that interesting, right? So they started seeing all the miracles, and so they're trusting Jesus, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I mean, this guy's doing all kinds of stuff, and people are following him. And listen, today, people follow Jesus often for all the wrong reasons. This is what Jesus will do for you is the message that's put out there, rather than deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. They were following him because they saw the miracles and they were trusting him. And he goes, but he didn't trust them. He knew what was in their heart. So he knows what's in our hearts, right? He knows what's going on. He knows the darkness. He knows the pain. He knows the shame. He knows the guilt. The beautiful thing is, he loves us still, right? And he wants to still use you. And he wants to still use me. It's not about pastors and missionaries and, you know, someone else going and doing the work. No, he's the cornerstone, and he's putting together these living stones, and he calls them a royal priesthood. Like, you have that mantle to go and to share. I said it last week. You don't need my permission. You have God's permission, authority. He's qualified you. He's given you his spirit. But like Ben was sharing earlier, man, sometimes it's harder for us to just go to our neighbor. It's easier to go to somewhere overseas and take a mission trip. But I think God wants to do things in and through us. And so actually, before you guys start the song, you just play a little bit and you can kind of play the intro or whatever. And I want us to take a couple minutes right now, right where you're at. And I just want you to just sit there before God. There's a couple things I know that are true beyond a shadow of a doubt. One is that God is here. Not because we're gathered for church on Sunday morning, because he's God. He's omnipresent. David said, "Where can I run from your spirit, God? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go down to the deepest depths, you're there. There's nowhere I can go. He's here." And so I want us to just sit before the God who is here, and I want you to be present with him, because he's always here. When you're in your car, he's there. When you're at school, he's there. When you're at work, he's there. Problem is, sometimes we're not. We're everywhere else and we forget that he's there. And if you know him, and if you put your faith in Jesus and you've been born again, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, the scripture says. So he's not just here on the outside, he's here inside. And the Bible says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Take all of your anxious thoughts and turn those over to him in prayer. There's people sitting in this room who have anxious thoughts about a lot of things. Maybe what's going on in work. Maybe what's going on in your family. Maybe you're burdened over your children. People here who are wondering if the marriage is going to last. Does he or she really love me? Does God really love me the way Vic says? Listen, he's here, and I want to encourage you, take a moment in the quietness of your heart and talk to him. Lord, you know what's going on in each of our hearts. Those people were following you and they were trusting, quote unquote, in you, and maybe for all the wrong reasons. And it says that you knew their hearts. You know human nature. You know what's going on in each one of us. And so if you got questions, you're having a hard time trusting God, he knows that. Tell him that. God, forgive us for the times where we make it about us. We have a way of twisting things. Just could be devotions. It could be trying to do the right thing. And we do all these things because we think we do that and then God's going to bless me. We do that. My life's going to be better. We do that. My marriage is going to be fixed. And God's all about us. It's supposed to be all about you. God, you came, you died, you love us. Loving father with a child. That's the picture. And so, God, we come before you and say, God, by your Spirit, fix our hearts. My heart's messed up. I don't do a good job of loving people all the time. I need you by your Spirit to work in me. Not so I can have this or this can be better for me, but God, because that's what you want. You want devoted, surrendered followers who are willing to lay down our lives, deny ourselves, and trust you. And God, to be present and aware of what you're doing around us, that you want to use us as a light to this world and forgive us for when we put it under a bushel basket or cover it up. Usually it's because our light, we feel like it's so dim, like we don't even have anything to shine. What are we going to give the world? God, we have you. Fill us, Lord. Remind us of your love. Take away the guilt. Take away the shame. Let that light shine. Build us into a beautiful, beautiful church. And I'm not talking about just here at Emmaus. I'm just talking about in this world where we let our good deeds, because they just flow out of us, we let them shine before men, and they look with awe and say, why would you do that? And then we share about our love for you and your love for us. If you would, let's stand together. Let's sing this last song. And we're going to have elders off to either side of the stage here. There's also communion off to either side. If you need prayer for anything, we'll be there to just stand with you, minister to you, and pray for you. And if you want to share a moment of communion, do that. But just remember, he gives us living water. He wants to give us living water, and that we have something to give to this world. So let's sing. Let this song be your prayer. And if you need prayer, someone to just stand with you, please come on up. We'd love to pray with you.